to Asia now, and our correspondent is Elizabeth Beattie, a journalist at Thomson Reuters based in Hong Kong. We begin in Japan today, Elizabeth, and goodness, a new prime minister there.
That's right. Morning, Catherine. So this week, Japan has officially welcomed in its new prime minister, Yoshihide Suga. He was recently voted in as the new leader of the ruling Liberal Democratic Party. Now, Suga's appointment follows this unexpected resignation by the country's longest-serving PM, Shinzo Abe, who recently left due to ailing health. And 71-year-old Suga, who's retained about half his predecessor's lineup in his cabinet, he said his approach will be consistent with that of Abe's. But still, everyone's trying to figure out Suga a little bit. And he's previously been viewed as something of a bit of a backroom player rather than a leader. And so everyone's just kind of working him out a little bit. And I've already seen his Suga's likeness be stamped on cakes and photos of Japanese pancakes, also stamped with his image. So he's had this kind of sudden burst of popularity as well since he's resumed the role.
It's a big change, though, and particularly at a very significant time. And how well known, I guess, was he before ascending to this role?
Well, he did play an important role in Abe's cabinet in the past. He acted as a government spokesperson and he coordinated policies. And he's very much considered a staunch defender of Abe, particularly during his past scandals. But there have been concerns, that's right, around his little diplomatic kind of experience. And given the intensifying political tensions between China and the US and other countries and Japan's kind of entwined relationships, this is viewed as a bit of a tough hill to climb. I think some would consider him slightly untested in this area.
Very interesting change, and time will tell, I guess. Let's look at the story in Mongolia now, where demonstrators have been gathering in the capital. What are they protesting about?
So that's right. So in China's Inner Mongolia region, we've suddenly seen demonstrators gather in the capital city of Ulaanbaatar to protest a new policy that demands education, promote and emphasize Chinese language and history. This is a change to the national education curriculum, and it requires that the Inner Mongolia region basically step into line with that. The Chinese government's stance is this policy is designed to promote national unity. Officials have said there's still room for Mongolian language teaching and other subjects, but parents are really concerned, and this has led to the protests. This push isn't out of the blue. China education policy changes in the past have targeted Tibetan and Uyghur language education and expressions of culture. And some of those in the region of Inner Mongolia are citing those examples as sources of concern. And now we've seen this kind of really push for protests by parents, and we've seen many keep their children out of school following the policy announcement, and they're playing quite a significant role in those protests at the moment.
And human rights organisations also raising concern that this is about suppressing Mongolian culture.
That's right. So we've heard from a few different human rights bodies saying that the Mongolian language is already in decline and it's something that needs to be protected. And now this kind of clampdown on the protesters, we're also seeing, you know, by authorities, this is also concerning human rights bodies. One rights group has estimated around 4,000 to 5,000 people have been put into police custody. And they've also accused authorities of turning the region into a police state, requiring parents to pledge their children will return to school or risk facing punishment. And in other cases, being warned that their children may be expelled.
And in Hong Kong, there's been an update on the 12 individuals currently being held in China after attempting to flee by boat, Elizabeth.
Yeah, that's right. So we've heard a bit of new information on this. These individuals, the 12, were captured in waters around South China, and they're now being held by police over the border from Hong Kong in Shenzhen in mainland China without access to lawyers appointed by their families. And the youngest person being held is a 16-year-old boy. We've recently had China's foreign ministry come out and call the groups separatists. And we've heard for the first time that the 12 are being held in Shenzhen on suspicion of crossing the border illegally. Hong Kong's Security Bureau have also released a comment saying the 12 are suspected of committing crimes in Hong Kong, with 10 of those individuals being charged with offences like manufacturing or possessing explosives or assaulting police officers. And those 10 were on bail and they were unable to leave Hong Kong, according to the Security Bureau. And we've also heard from parents and relatives of those captured, really concerned about their loved ones because there has been no communication at this stage.
And any word from the Hong Kong government?
We have had a word from the Hong Kong government very recently on this, and they've said they will not intervene. Chief Executive Carrie Lam has said those arrested will be dealt with according to Chinese laws if they're arrested for an offence in China. She said the Hong Kong government will try to offer assistance, but we don't really have details of what that will entail. But she has been clear to media. She said she wanted to make it very clear to media that people being held are not democratic activists being oppressed. She's quite concerned about that message being conveyed. So very uncertain situation, but the Hong Kong government is unlikely to be intervening at this stage.
Thank you. Elizabeth Beattie is a journalist at Thomson Reuters based in Hong Kong.